When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is a Football Friday. Football Friday continues, man. Since 6 a.m. it's been a Football Friday going strong right here on Sports Radio 610. And I begrudgingly tell you that this is going to be an audio paddling for the next 4 hours here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig and myself, Reginald Atitula. Excited. Very excited for this Football Friday. This is a fun Saturday of football coming up that is headlined in this city by Texans Chiefs. At Arrowhead, or sorry, GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. Know that. That's right. Yeah. That's right. that is right. I didn't anticipate being called nerd by Sean Pendergast, but here we are. Get involved with the program, as we always love that you do. Get on the YouTube and the Twitch. Both of those are open and available to you. But then also, thank you for the ding, Seth. Yeah. And then also the text line, 713-572-4610. Let us know what you're feeling on all fronts when it comes to this game. And I think that, just like, let's start from the 30,000 foot view, and then we can dig in even further, as this is a Football Friday, so we're going to get all the way into this. But I was kind of coming to this game, I've continued to remain somewhat optimistic, trying to see the places where development and progress can happen for this team. Obviously, you've already won the division. You are AFC South champions. We have the shirts to prove it. Shout out to Academy Sports and Outdoors for helping us out with that. But there's still things to play for, right? We're not shutting this thing down. And I think for me, the things to play for are trying to find more progress headed into the playoffs. No?
No, look, I think this game can kind of sort of set the course like once and for all. Like we've been saying, well, the offense, how much better can it really get? But, you know, they've changed the offensive line. But, you know, you still have C.J. Stroud looking a little better.
Looked a little rejuvenated coming off the bye week. I will say that gave me a little pep in my step seeing those three plays, right?
Yeah.
You see the touchdown passes, right, where he's able to step up in the pocket or roll out to his right and then, you know, do the scramble drill in a way that it felt like he had kind of deviated away from in the kind of the middle parts of the season.
Right.
And then there was that third down play where he is wrapped up and he finds a way to get the ball to Tank Dell there on the right side. And those were like, okay, those feel like sparks of the C.J. Stroud. Can those continue is one of the things that, you know, feels like it's
there. Yeah, and meanwhile, the Kansas City Chiefs have that little pixie dust, that magic pixie dust.
Somehow, boy, do they.
Somehow, some way, they'll find a way to win games week after week after week, even though they're not really looking that well. A little statistical, you know, quirk here. Did you know the Kansas City Chiefs offense has scored exactly one more point than the Texans offense this year?
I did not know that, but
one point.
There's a lot of places where these teams are similar. I made the passing remark yesterday that these teams are like the Spider-Man meme, and I was looking at some things that made me think, oh, yeah. Right, when we talk about success rate on, running the football is just the Texans are very bad when it comes to success rate there. But like there's some different analytics that you look at and you go, hey, these teams are very similar success rate, I believe, passing the football.
And the way they win games, you know, with the defense and
defense
all that.
Defense first,
so,
for
so
sure.
So that's kind of where I'm landing on this as we get into a great Saturday of football, as we've been discussing. I feel as if, okay, we kind of know what this team is, but, you know, if you do get a little more development on the offensive line, show a little more. C.J. Stroud does look like he did on those plays and in those moments, as you just mentioned, and maybe adds a little more to it. You do get a little bit more offense. The running game somehow starts to find its way with Joe Mixon.
I noticed the word somehow in there because that feels like you don't have an answer as to how.
Exactly. And you still get that defense. I mean, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I think you win this game on this day. with everybody watching and the offense showing a little bit more life with the great defense already established, we might start changing back to like, hey now, you know, they might have a little something after all.
So you in your words, right?
I think we changed the direction of this team, this game. This game, not to be dramatic again, but I think we were very optimistic, then it kind of fell off a cliff, and then we're like, it is what it is. See that, Figgy?
There you go. You're catching on.
I'm proud of you.
No, it made me sick to say that. But anyway.
You keep saying that. Just keep being sick until you're not.
No.
You'll get accustomed.
And so we're like, okay, sort of resigned to the fact that this is what they are, right?
Yeah, resignation is a great word.
But you change against the Chiefs, you know, an absolute iconic team with the iconic quarterback and iconic coach, and you go into Kansas City in the cold, and win with defense, and you run the ball with Mixon, I honestly think we're all going to be talking different next week.
But that's the thing is, I understand that you're like, hey, there's an if here, but that if I am operating from a place of hope and optimism, I can be like, yeah, I can see a way in which this feels like it changes the trajectory, or at least the seeming trajectory of where the Texans are, especially as they, you know, ramp up for the playoffs. If I am going to, you know, the second mind that I'm of two minds in this instance, and the second one of those is one that is a little bit more logical and reasonable, is that we have done this for a long time this year, where we're looking for the possibilities of this kind of ramping up to a better degree and all sorts of different things, whether it's bye week or whatever other milestones or Nico Collins coming back from injury or what have you, right? The switch moving Kenyon Green, or not moving him, but him getting injured and having some shuffle. Like, there's all sorts of different milestones that we were hoping would represent the opportunity for the shift into gear of this offense and this team at large into a place back closer to what the expectation we had of them was earlier on in the season. And at what point are we going to go, hey, that's all wishful thinking, and we have to, they are what we thought they are, or like they are what their record shows them to be, or what have you. I think that's a lot closer to where I am right now, and understanding that this is a tough game that you're going in against. Mm-hmm. Someone on the text line makes a good point from the 713, not to kill the vibe, but CJ hasn't played particularly well on the road with weather conditions. That's another thing.
You're not wrong.
How much do we factor in the arrow, the vaunted, road environment that Arrowhead is, how much do we factor in the little bit of magic, or maybe a lot of bit of magic, that the Kansas City Chiefs continue to sprinkle upon themselves? Did you know that according to the sports reference pages, right, the football reference and all those, if you look at just the way that they've played, in theory, they should be 9-5. This is a 13-1 team from Kansas City.
For sure. But to your point, that's why I said, once and for all, if it doesn't happen. Because I just laid out, okay, if these things happen and we start to see the progress and development in these areas that we saw a little bit hint,
And that's based off the point differential, mind you.
Oh, thank you. But what I'm saying is, if these things happen and they build on what we saw on Sunday, then maybe it could change the direction of the team. On the other hand, to your point, if it doesn't happen and they, they bleep the bed and they look the same and all that, well, then that's it. If not now, when? When are you going
to
change?
Yeah. I guess this is the kind of, I don't know what the right word is, but like, to what degree is necessary for that feel? I wonder how many people in our listening audience are in the same boat where I am, where it's like, yeah, I don't think that I'll have a change. What would it take in this game for you to have some level of change in that flip of the switch of hope, as you're kind of talking about, to where you're like, okay, actually, there does seem to be some signs of a higher life for this team, particularly offense. And now I am more hopeful headed in.
Yeah, I think it's easy. I think that's an easy answer. Run game behind this line, and CJ Stroud continuing to show that he's not running for his life. He's actually confident and able to move around in the pocket. The little hints that we didn't say any hints on the run game, but the little things that we saw.
I could say there might have been some hints.
I don't know. Was it 26 yards he had rushing?
Yeah, and they didn't run the ball a lot. But
they had short fields, all that stuff.
Yeah, and it definitely came back to one of the things that I'm crystallizing, which is it's always something. Mm-hmm. There's always one point of failure in a play in the run game, and sometimes it's just that, Jared Patterson can't get a reach blocker. Sometimes it's that Robert Woods isn't managing to get to the linebacker that ultimately blows up the play. But I, at the very least, in the other portions that weren't the point of failure, we're seeing more push. So maybe you can convince yourself in that way. But again, it's doing a lot of mental gymnastics to convince yourself, and that's what keeps bringing me back. So to the question that I posed, I feel like it would need to be resounding.
Well, resounding, I mean, that's interesting because I think if you get 100 yards out of Joe Mixon, that's resounding.
But I think defense. It's qualitative.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's less quantitative mm-hmm. than because we've seen 100 yards out of Joe Mixon many times this year. Mm-hmm. And how many of those times were those performances indicative of something that felt that it was substantial mm-hmm. and that you could carry over week to week and that you could at any given time when you need it pull out of your pocket a run play that you knew would be successful.
But in those games there were other issues and CJ Stroud was not being protected. That's my point. If you can protect him, which we saw that, and we saw a more confident CJ Stroud. We've never had a Texans team protect this year, protect CJ Stroud and run the ball in the same game.
At the same time?
In the same game.
Okay.
Haven't had it. I mean, try to find a game where they protected CJ Stroud and they ran the ball. I mean, even Indianapolis, you know, in the first game, he was kind of, we didn't know what was going on at the time, but he was kind of, I think he was sacked a few times and, you know, running around and they had to really scramble. But if you get that, then all of a sudden I think the narrative changed. But at the same time, to your point, there hasn't been any indication that they can put that together. If it doesn't happen now, it ain't going to happen.
The thought, sorry, yeah. I got distracted by the question yeah. that you posed. Two sacks for CJ Stroud was sacked twice in the Patriots game, and you end up with the Mixon 102 and a touchdown. Is that the best? Is that the best case of that?
That might be
against that at that point the 1-5 in New England Patriots mm-hmm. As Drew. I almost called him Drew Lock. Why is his name leaving me?
You're talking about Drake May?
Drake May.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. All right. It's a Friday in more ways than one. Like, for some reason, it seems like my brain is going, but it's because I'm amped up for this football that's coming down.
Just stick to the stadium names.
Yeah.
And apparently, the rumors that you used to.
Apparently, that's what my brain
can
handle.
If you ever want to feel good, just think about stadium names.
Rookie quarterbacks. My brain is like, ain't got it for you. But I know that he plays at Gillette Stadium, though, right? Like, I guess that's how that works. Yeah, no, I feel like it wouldn't be the points of it. It would be are you picking up stunts on the defensive line mm-hmm. because that's something that no matter what iteration of the offensive line that we've gotten in moments where we go, oh well, they're doing this a little bit better.
Yeah.
You get like a tackle game, you know, or you get something where you have one of these twists or stunts up mm-hmm. front, and all of a sudden you're not picking that up, right? Like that. Especially against a Steve Spagnuolo, right? Like,
the other aspect.
I'm trying to remember which game it was this season for the Texans where you could see them. It was probably Kenyon Green's final game where you could see the defensive. You see the defense going, okay, so we're going to attack these seams and these weaknesses on the offensive line. And if there's anybody who is capable of one, identifying, and then two, actually drawing up the things to attack a particular weakness, particularly on your offensive line, it is Steve Spagnuolo. With this defensive line that has become more robust than it had been any point in this season with the return of Charles Menehu, like, if I see that, right, and if I see them picking up in protection in that way, if I see some actual, like, a full or some full plays where you get a run block that creates a lane and that also does not have some place in it where there's a point of failure, that, like, it's those things qualitatively mm-hmm. if I see those, and if I see those with any level of consistency, that would give me some level of feeling that, yeah, obviously you're competing against the Chiefs, which is cool, but then that you will take that ability to be competitive against a higher level team in this league and mm-hmm. translate it forward to Christmas, to the playoffs. Like, that's what I'm hoping for, and I'm going to be completely honest, I'm not super mm-hmm. optimistic that I will see that, even though I feel this to be a downright winnable football game.
Yeah, and there's another factor here as well that I think would make us all feel sort of like the direction is changing, and that happened last night. I mean, the Chargers winning helps the Texans' playoff picture, if you asked me, because the Chargers just have the Patriots and the Raiders left on their schedule. They're going to be in the playoffs. You know, they're going to be in the playoffs. Could they be the number 5 seed to face the Texans? I'd much rather face them than the Ravens. The Texans have the Ravens in there. The Ravens have the Steelers this week, right?
Yeah.
And then the Texans face them.
Yeah.
So, like, all of a sudden, it's not just like what you're seeing on the direction, like your schedule potentially in the postseason looks a little bit more like, okay, the direction of this team might be changing if they can get it what they want. I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather face the Chargers than the Ravens. That's for dang sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting question to bring up, because The Ravens are scary when it comes to the high water mark of what their offense can do. Mm-hmm. That is a terrifying offense, right? If I just stop at Lamar Jackson, who bona fide MVP candidate, he feels like he's been overtaken, at mm-hmm. least at the top, by Josh Allen out here just being a menace and being the full assumption or the full realization, rather, mm-hmm. of what people thought Josh Allen could be when you just looked at the talent coming, yeah. or like the raw ability coming out of Wyoming. He's become that and more. In the NFL at this point. But Lamar Jackson, MVP candidate, the speed that he brings, mm-hmm. the ability to throw the football down the field, and then you add Derrick Henry, who is like creating an incredible amount of yards above the expectation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you add all the wide receivers and the targets, because I feel like the tight ends are probably stronger mm-hmm. than the wide receivers themselves. Like, yeah, that high water mark is there. What we saw yesterday, that's a Chargers team that plays tough. Like they resemble their head coach.
Yeah.
In Jim Harbaugh. Yes, Jim. I always have to. It's, I don't know why the Jim and the John gets me, but in Jim Harbaugh there, and like they're just evidently a really well coached team. Which again, coming back at least to this offense, because I don't want to denigrate this defense for the Texans. If sometimes I have questions about them being a well coached team, and how strongly do you feel about that in a team that is not consistently successful in the Texans offense against a team that is pretty disciplined and kind of handles what they're supposed to do, even if they don't have the outsized talent in the Chargers. That's an interesting dichotomy there. And regardless,
which would you rather face?
Probably the Chargers, yeah. But in either circumstance, right? Whichever one you face, you need to be able to do some of the things that I'm hoping that you can do, but I'm not certain that you will actually prove that you can do tomorrow.
But let's just kind of go forward a little bit. Let's say you beat the Chiefs and you get those hints from C.J. Stroud and the offensive line, a little bit more running game. And then you face the Chargers in the first round. You got the Ravens coming in on Christmas. Then you face the Chargers in the first round. I think that changes a lot.
Okay.
I think that changes a lot of how this team feels and how we feel about this team.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that Chargers game. There's some interesting things in it. Just thankfully a good Thursday night football game. Shout out to the mm-hmm. good flex. Good job, NFL. Yeah. Good flex there. Folks on the text line from the 832, the Texans washed that Chargers team that I saw last night. Okay. That's a level of confidence there. And then 832 with an interesting take. I always felt this team was constructed in a way to beat the Chiefs, they say. And I mean, if you're playing to the ability that it feels like you can on paper, sure. But mm-hmm. again, I don't know that I've seen that demonstrated by this team, but we'll see how that continues to play out. And hopefully, again, with all of that, I feel like I brought the negativity in that segment on this, because I'm spinning it forward to like what I think would mean in the playoffs. I think this game right in front of you mm-hmm. is downright winnable against the Kansas City Chiefs. And so let's break that down a little bit more as we continue on a Football Friday. But coming up next, I actually just want to get to maybe the revenge factor of this all, because there's some guys that you're familiar with over there on that Kansas City Chiefs team, including one Charles Menehu, who is talking. Let's see if we can get a little bit of an understanding of what he means and what he's talking about. We'll do that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio.
Yeah, happy Football Friday to you. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. Gearing up for a fantastic football Saturday that's coming up, which is headlined, of course, by Texans off in Kansas City facing off against the Chiefs. That should be a very fun one. Of course, you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. Starting at 9 a.m. is when Sean is set to get you going for that noon kick here in the great city of Houston. Hope you're having a great day and getting involved with us on the text line, 713-572-4610. Somebody said being scared of Russell Wilson is crazy. The Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, we were talking about the Chargers and the Ravens.
Yeah, we were talking about the Chargers and Ravens. Yeah. And I think the tough thing about it, because again, somebody mentioned that they thought that the Texans would wash that Chargers team. And I understand that Chargers team last night that we saw, they had to fight their way back, right? They had to claw back into that game. And seeing that game, maybe I could see it. I can maybe see that kind of thought process if you go, oh, man, the Texans will run away and hide. But I don't know that the Texans have demonstrated themselves to be a runaway and hide team.
No,
right?
They have not.
The hide part would be possible but with this defense. The runaway part is the part that I'm a little concerned with. But we'll talk more about all of this as we continue. One of the things with this game is just the familiar faces that the Texans will see in this one. Obviously, Justin Reed is one of those guys. Mm-hmm. And then the one that has been making news recently, Charles Menehu, who has returned recently for the Kansas City Chiefs to add that outside pressure on the pass rush. Now, I mean, obviously played here with these Texans for a while. And
went to UT, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He's a Texas. Is he from
He's
Texas?
He's from Houston, right? Lived in Austin. I'm going to get to this in a little bit, but he went through the whole thing in the entirety of the podcast. Went to Houston, born in Houston. Went to Texas and Austin, lived in Dallas for a while. So he's
all over the place.
He's a Texas guy.
Yeah, he like me for real.
Yeah. He really is.
Been all over this great state of Texas. But now he is playing for a team that was formerly called the Dallas Texans, the Kansas City Chiefs. And in I guess, I don't even remember when this particular podcast happened, but he started talking about the Texans organization, mm-hmm. and apparently no love lost there.
Okay, if you hear the clip that's making the round.
Yes.
You're going to say, okay, bitter,
yeah.
You know, problem,
yes.
Get over it, all that. Let's listen to it first, then I'm going to explain something to you.
But at the end of the day, I'm going to make this clear. I don't with the Texas organization at all, and I cannot wait to play them, boy. I literally cannot wait. Yeah, it's definitely going to be some fire. But yeah.
All right, so that's fighting words, right? That's trash talk. That's a guy that's going to bring it. It's we got a grudge match upon us.
Yes,
you couple that with Tim Settle, you know, and what we we heard from him.
I didn't think Tim Settle was going to be the guy in front.
All
though,
of
man.
A sudden, he's there.
But I mean, if you get especially if you follow the folks on the beat who will go into the locker room frequently and mm-hmm. talk to folks, Tim Settle's always giving you something interesting.
Yeah,
he's always giving. He is an interesting dude. He's got a lot of personality, and that shows. In any video that you catch, or any quote really that you catch of him mm-hmm. talking,
but here's the thing, so I actually listened to the entirety of that interview. It was like 14 minutes, and if you listen to it, I got a question for Texans fans: how were you feeling about that time that Charles Omenihu was here? How were you feeling about the direction of this organization, about how they ran things, about how they lied and were they told different stories? You know, they were. just an organization that had no direction. David Culley and Lovie Smith.
Yeah.
And of course, Jack Easterby.
Oh, boy.
And just some of the ways that the team just fell off a cliff on the field as well, and misusing players. If you listen to that whole, he said what he said, and I'm not trying to defend Charles Omenihu, but I would highly encourage people to listen to that, because everything that he talked about in that podcast, from how they misused him, how they sent him mixed messages, how they would tell him one thing and do something else, we were all talking about that. I mean, that's what this organization, we were all saying the same thing. Figgy, you were here. I mean, it was like, what are they doing? They're dysfunctional, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He's just the one that actually, that was a player that actually said it out loud.
Yeah, I remember seeing him roll his eyes when Jack Easterby was going through the stretch line.
He didn't shake his hand.
Yeah, he just kind of rolled his eyes a little bit. I'm like, damn. But no, I understand what he said. I was actually shocked that he said F the organization type thing, because right now it's a little different. I mean, the only person that's still here is, what, Nick Caserio?
Yeah.
But and that's probably the person that traded him.
Well, he talked about Nick Caserio on the podcast, too.
Yeah.
He said he was telling him things he didn't want to hear, and how they moved him to the inside and then the outside. He actually said, you know, and people are wrong on this. You know, they seem to think that, J.J. Watt and he had a thing. Because I think there was something on field where J.J. told him, you know, adamantly to do something. Whatever it was, he's talking about J.J. Watt like one of his friends. Like, he said, J.J. Watt helped me become a pro and all this other stuff. And if it wasn't for him, you know, I don't know how I would have handled it. Like, the clip itself is very, very misleading.
Yeah. And as a Texans fan, I understand why you would be like, okay, like, let's gear up. Let's go against this guy.
Yeah.
Because he said FR organization. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But he kind of had it rough here, man.
Like, he had it rough.
Even with Bill O'Brien. I think he was one of the people in Bill O'Brien doghouse at one point.
But he actually thanked Bill O'Brien too for drafting him and letting him have his rookie year, which was kind of a good moment for him, and then it went straight down there, and then there was confusion and dysfunction and everything else. Look, he said those words, he's gonna try to back him up. He's a factor in this game. He's only played three games and he's getting better every week.
Yeah.
Anybody who's like, screw that guy. You were saying this. I was.
Well,
I was saying the same damn thing.
On the text line, 832, watch the whole interview. He's a crybaby. And someone said,
I watched the whole interview. He was not a crybaby.
Okay. Y'all will have y'all
interview was you watched.
Yeah. And then from the 979, bro, Bill O'Brien and Easterby are gone. We hate them too. What's a man who on? And that's the thing that I kind of got. I was like, look, man, I think it's absolutely reasonable to have a lot of those feelings about that time, because as you've rightfully detailed, it seems like we all kind of had those. Yeah. I mean, that is part of what made the Texans, and I say this with no glee, a little bit of a laughingstock in this league for a period of time.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, like, this organization rightfully turned over and changed course. And I don't know that it's fair to, like, necessarily group those things together, but I guess when you talk about it, when you're going into a game against an opponent, it don't necessarily have to be fair. Like, one of the things we know about athletes is that they be making stuff up. Didn't we watch a whole 10-hour documentary where a large part of it was just Michael Jordan making up slights to be able to get his rocks off so that he could go be great?
Yeah.
You know, then I do wonder if that is what – I wonder if that's what Charles Omenihu is doing here.
I think the other thing, too, I think just the simple fact he said it out loud just kind of
– That's it. Bingo.
Because Justin Reed played here too.
Yeah.
Played almost the same amount of time that he was here.
And DeAndre Hopkins, when they were asked about it yesterday, like, nothing but respect for the organization. You know that ain't true.
Yeah. So I think, honestly, even Justin Reed is a very nice guy too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he wanted to put it to the Texans too, because the Texans the one that didn't want to sign him back.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt like that they needed to move on from him. So I'm sure he feels some type of way too, but it's the simple fact that Charles actually said it. It said, I want to.
That's it.
He did say it.
I want to take it to that team. I want to ball out against that team.
He did say it. And so, like, he has to own it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be one of the major things to watch, is that defensive line versus this Texans offensive line. This, I guess, new look again.
Yeah.
Texas offensive line for the what is it, third time new look offensive line. That is going to be something that is worth watching. But you did mention that other guys were talking about this. And, of course, the revenge game aspect, it feels like that sits very strongly with the Charles Omenihu. Does that sit with DeAndre Hopkins? Hop, your first time playing your former Texas team, does it add more juice?
No, it doesn't. I still live in Houston as well. I know some of those guys. So, you know, I see them in offseason, but it doesn't really have any more significant than, you know, any other game to me.
See, now this is two different tracks of the same thing. Because D-Hop got treated as bad or worse than Omenihu.
Oh, man.
Like, as bad or worse. But D-Hop is basically saying, and we've gotten some of this on the text board, like, hey, those guys are all gone. Figgy, you alluded to that. They're all gone. Why is he still mad? Well, people react differently. Some people are like D-Hop, and clearly he's like, I like most of those guys. My problems are all gone. Whereas Omenihu is like, he's that guy that got fired from a company and 20 years later is still holding a grudge. You know, and it's a whole different regime.
But even with DeAndre Hopkins' situation, everybody is gone from that that whole front office, Bill O'Brien. Everybody that was there at that time is gone.
Right. But he's doing it differently than D-Hop.
Yeah, so he probably don't have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
But Charles Omenihu, Nick Caserio is still there. And he mentioned how, I guess, Nick Caserio was the one trying to have him inside, outside, was kind of that. So he probably still feels some type of way because it wasn't that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was only like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you think that D-Hop and Steven Nelson, or sorry, not D-Hop, Charles Omenihu and Steven Nelson, like, happy to kind of have that opportunity to kind of talk trash a little bit?
I'm interested to see what Steven Nelson does, if anything, in this game. Because if Kansas City wins, we'll hear from him.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to dust off that podcast he's been doing once in a while.
We'll hear from him. It was just fascinating to me because when I first heard the cut as well, just the cut, I was like, ah, come on. And then I heard the whole interview. I'm like, well, you know, he's kind of saying what we all said.
See, when I heard it, I was kind of shocked because I'm like, dang, I know he has some issues here, but I figured those issues was gone.
Yeah.
And he probably like, you know what, I ain't got a problem personally with the organization, but just the people that was moving me all over the place and selling me false hope and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought it would have been that, but he just went out guns blazing, like, F that whole record label.
Yeah.
So at least we know that in one aspect, there'll be some passion that shows up in addition to just the football of it all.
There is
going to
be
game.
Some passion. We got a grudge match.
In some way, shape, or form. Shout out to, what is it, Veldrin on the Twitch chat saying, so many grown men caught up in their feelings. That's sports for you, baby. Like, we may not get into, like, soap operas or telenovelas in that same way, but that sports deliver that same drama for us.
Yeah,
and there's a little drama for you in this one as the Texans face off against the Chiefs tomorrow at noon. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Football Friday. Let's get into our question of the day. Joe Burrow, Brock Purdy, and Patrick Mahomes were three quarterbacks who engaged in the annual tradition of getting their offensive linemen some cool gifts. What's the most unique Christmas tradition that you have or best Christmas gift that you've gotten? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Happy Football Friday as we're dead smack in the middle of the holiday season.
And Merry Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all of them. We're still gearing up for a Saturday midday football game, Saturday at noon versus the Chiefs for these Texans. But, you know, the holiday season is all amongst us.
It came up quick, man.
It really did.
Man. I saw a tweet about, I think I forgot who tweeted this, but they said Alex Bregman will probably make a decision after Christmas. I'm like, after Christmas?
That's
like,
oh,
wait a minute. I'm like, that's next week.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
But, yeah, quarterbacks in the league are getting into the holiday spirit is Mahomes, Burrow, Purdy, all giving gifts to their linemen. We'll talk a little bit more about what the actual gifts were. But the question of the day bases off of that. What's your Christmas tradition or
your most unique
Christmas tradition or what's your favorite gift? One of the two. As I imagine that these offensive linemen every year enjoy this particular tradition where their quarterback, it seems like quarterback more now than ever.
It's a tradition. That's where this came from.
It used to be the running backs would really take care of their guys after the season, you know, for blocking up for them. But it seems like all of them.
It's like, y'all ain't taking care of us.
Yeah, since there's more money.
Y'all ain't paying us no more.
There's more money in that quarterback pocket.
Yeah.
Those guys tend to really take
that's right.
Take
their
a hold
budgets
of it.
Have been slammed.
100%. That's right. Yeah,
y'all
man.
Appreciate us.
Yeah, the bonuses really had to be cut back this year on the running back
situation.
Get
somebody in the fifth round, like y'all be saying.
Get the quarterback to get you some gifts.
Exactly. The quarterbacks did. did. Patrick Mahomes
drafted one.
Patrick Mahomes took care of his offensive lineman. He got them like a gift package of sorts. It wasn't just one. They had like a full Yeti cooler.
Mm-hmm.
They had
red Yeti cooler.
Yeah, red. I guess obviously some Luke Casey boots, like Oakley's sunglasses, a Rolex, and then the thing that I thought was the most important was a Normatic Elite. Like some legs, like recovery things. Yeah. I don't even know how to describe them.
Basically help you feel better.
Yeah. Air compression leg attachments, which are $1,000 each. He got those for his offensive lineman. I was like, give me some pragmatic, right? You can give me some Louis Vuitton luggage or whatever, or you can give me something that will actually help me on these days after I was squatting down, having to, you know, pop up and block and move all these 300 pound dudes. Brock Purdy and Joe Burrow also did some stuff. Burrow got his Joe Burrow got his offensive lineman's katanas.
Swords.
What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah. Swords.
What am I supposed to do with that?
So, first of all, Mahomes' gifts were outstanding. That's a great.
He got it. He's one of like six dudes in the league that makes over $50 million a year. You better.
Purdy's was incredibly generous. He only makes $980,000 a year. And he got them all cars. Or SUVs, I guess.
Oh, he went full-blown Oprah.
Yeah.
You get a car.
Yeah.
You get a car.
And meanwhile, Joe Burrow gets some swords.
That sounds like Joe Burrow,
It really does.
Joe Burrow's an eccentric dude, man. I don't think we often think of him as that, but, I mean, he came into the season, colored that hair up, bought him a Batmobile, and bought his guys katanas.
I forgot about that.
He was like, if y'all go protect me, y'all go protect me like some samurai.
Hey, that's Kevin McAllister as a grown man in the NFL. Yeah, that's not pretty much what it is.
You're not wrong.
So what's your most unique operative word Christmas tradition? Now, this came up because of obviously that's a unique thing that quarterbacks do. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine about our Christmas thing that we do with countries and all that. And he said, well, we have Find the Pickle. I said, Find the Pickle.
That sounds like that should get like you in prison. Yeah, I don't like what's happening there.
They have a unique Christmas tradition in his family that's called Find the Pickle. And apparently, I Googled it. This goes back to like old Germany. There's a Christmas ornament that's a pickle, and whoever of the kids finds it gets an extra gift. So it's like you wake up Christmas morning, first thing you do is look at the tree to find the pickle.
Okay,
So I get it, but it just sounds funny. And the conversation that we had when he told me that went about how you thought
of course,
it would.
Of course. I feel like I'm pretty generic. Like, I don't know that I have anything that's particularly special. I do wonder, like that. I feel like I'm real simple about Christmas. It's just, hey man, can we eat some, and then can we get some gifts? That's really the thing for me.
Yeah.
I am interested in like the traditions that seemingly have popped up for others. Like, does anybody like? Do y'all do the elf on a shelf? Because that's been something that like I've watched other people do, and I'm like, that seems exhausting. Although that's not the greatest way to look at things around the holidays, because all of it is just a little extra effort to try and spread joy. So probably I shouldn't put it in those terms. However, it does.
Yeah. I don't know how unique this one is, but outside of our regular, you know, pick a country thing, we do karaoke all the time, Christmas evening. Mm. And that gets kind of...
Oh, karaoke. Yeah. For some reason, my brain immediately went to caroling.
No, we have karaoke machine.
Oh, man. Y'all going down to the neighbor's house and singing?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and the Find the Pickle jokes are coming in.
There you go.
Yeah, do you have any unique in your family?
Not really. My family kind of playing a little bit. I know the only unique thing we did, and this was during COVID and all that stuff, we had like a Christmas get together via Zoom. And
that was her
family. Yeah. You know, my family ain't gonna do no stuff like that.
But
her family, her family.
Your mom about to be on the phone with you. So how do you get into the Zoom?
Oh man, mom, you can't look at this. You can't get Zoom on an Obama phone. Mom. it won't let you log on that way. But yeah, we did that. It was actually pretty cool, man. Mm-hmm. Because at that time I was sick. I had COVID.
Oh wow.
So we was on the Zoom looking ugly as hell, opening gifts and all that stuff. So they sent some
gifts and everything?
Yeah, everything.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, the whole shebang.
Oh, so y'all had to mail them and then hold on to them until the day?
Yeah, we had to wrap them, man. Like, we ain't see what it was and all this other stuff. But it was cool, man. It was a weird time.
A lot of people go to the movies on Christmas evening.
Really? Yeah. I can see people watching movies at the crib. Like, I do wonder how many people do things that are out and about on Christmas. And, of course, this Christmas, the unique celebration will be watching and playing or, you know, and attending watching football games mm-hmm. as we will on Christmas at NRG for the Ravens game.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I guess my unique one, I guess it's not all that unique, but it's, man, basketball. Like I am morning till night basketball guy. Yeah. And of course I say that, and it's not as hardcore as you see as
like
it seems.
Watching it?
Yes, watching.
Okay, I thought you were playing.
They put the five games on, okay. mm-hmm. and I do my best to watch as much of those five games as possible. That's not going to happen this year, obviously. And it's waned because, you know, sometimes it's just hard to be able to be with family and watch sports the whole day, as I'm sure we all know from Thanksgiving. But, that's one of those. Especially with it being the, I guess, unofficial start of the season, as a lot of people view it, that's usually one of my favorites.
Yeah, a couple
of
things I did since I've been living here with me not having no family here.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we don't cook anything, we try to go somewhere, and obviously a lot of places are closed.
Chinese food on
Chinese food.
That's a big one.
We usually do Japanese, go to a Japanese restaurant, like Hibachi or something like that. Korean barbecue spots and stuff like. We usually do something like that. We do that on Thanksgiving and Christmas.
That's a big one. 832 said at the movies in their Christmas pajamas. That makes sense.
Okay. See, I don't be outside like that on Christmas often, so I guess I just do not see that. So. Hey, all right, cool. But I did want to ask about your favorite gifts because, again, this is about the tradition of these guys, these quarterbacks giving gifts. And y'all being some jerks was talking about how these Texans offensive linemen shouldn't get no gifts from C.J. Stroud.
What did he get?
Being Grinches.
Oh, wow. What does C.J. Stroud get his
Grinches?
They need a bag of coal.
Y'all being some Grinches, right? Oh, my goodness. Which is funny. And we'll talk. I think we'll talk about it more. But I feel like Laramie Tunsil, like, as much hate as we kind of gave him to start the season, he's been pretty good lately.
He's been good.
He's been pretty good lately.
He's been good now. Even the running game.
He can't get a gift?
Not a lot on the
Laramie
running game.
Laramie can't get a gift?
Not a lot
he
on the running
game.
He should
be buying people gifts.
Yeah.
Brother, you make the most on the team.
What does C.J. Stroud?
I ain't giving you nothing.
What does C.J. Stroud get them? If you go back to your favorite, you know, gift, that moment of opening that gift that still resonates.
I just kind
of
want to see how many people are going to bring up the bike. I feel like the bike is like or it's either the bike or it's like the game system. Because for me, I remember, and I don't know why some parents do this, and this might be a Two Americas moment. I'm not certain. We'll see on the text line. My mom made it certain I ain't getting you no Nintendo 64. It's not happening. And then here comes Christmas morning. What's under that tree? Nintendo. You didn't have to do that.
Got me like that.
You didn't have to do that.
That's like
I would have been
Rider
happy.
The Red Ryder BB gun. The Red Ryder BB gun. Yeah. Shoot your eye out.
Yeah.
Nah. Nah, she Christmas storied you.
Yeah.
She got me like that. And I didn't know this until I got older, but I kept flipping back and forth like, oh, I want a Nintendo 64. Nah, you know, I want a PlayStation. I want a Nintendo. I was going back and forth. Yeah. I didn't know they went back and forth exchanging these.
Oh, yes. Wow. That's mean.
And no, you had them in customer service in the holiday season?
Yeah, this was back in the day, too. This was in the 90s. So,
they was at Sears in line just sick.
I know.
The lady was like, oh, here you come again.
Yeah, but...
changed his mind again.
I ended up settling with the Nintendo 64, but she had it wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And I used to always try to shake and try to see what it is. And it ripped open where I couldn't really see it,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of knew what it was.
Yeah.
And she threatened to take it back.
Of course she
did. Well, she was versed in taking it back at that point.
Yeah.
She'd done it a few times.
Stroud needs to get his lineman PEDs.
I appreciate that, actually. I kind of like what we're doing there, right? Like, hey, man, let's get the weight up.
CJ needs to give his lineman a playbook and game film.
There was many people and many variations on the UTMA and the
How to Play
line.
Offensive Lineman for Dummies.
That's the one.
Oh.
Are we still making the Four Dummies books, by the way? Are those still in the game?
I still be seeing them.
Okay, because I was like, sometimes. I feel like that's one of the I guess cottage industries, for lack of a better term, that's kind of been hurt by the internet. Is with so much internet, and you can Google things. I guess the idea that the Four Dummies book's still out there makes me happy.
How to Not Fall Start for Dummies?
All right. They might have already gotten that. It feels like they've gotten significantly better about the pre-snap penalties. The 281 said in tying the unique Christmas traditions and the gifts. 281, me and my brother received a Nintendo when we were kids, and it's still set up at my parents' house, so we sit up every Christmas Day and play Duck Hunt.
That's cool. That's a good one.
That's a good unique tradition, too.
That's solid.
And this is not unique, but before I moved here, every Christmas we used to stay up to 12 and As I got older, this was when I was older, but I used to just sit and drink with my dad. Listen to music.
No, that's the question. Hey, man.
Listen to music, just drink all night, and then the kids gone to sleep, and then we be up all night till about 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Cutting up.
Yeah. Yep.
Holidays are the great time to stay up because you know you ain't got work in the morning, that's so exactly you can actually have a good time. And shout out to the 832. Said, we'll never forget when I was 5 at my parents' house and they let me open a gift on Christmas Eve. It was an Earl Campbell jersey. That's I bet dope, you man. Felt like the coolest
as
person
a,
in
as
the
a
world.
Kid. That was my favorite Christmas. I got a football uniform, you know, with the pads and the helmet and everything. Boy, I thought I was styling. And then as an adult, of course, Gibson 2009. That was a cool one.
Oh wow, 832. Another 832 said that they were going on a walk with the cousins. I thought that was a Thanksgiving activity, but I guess anytime the cousins link up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go out there and get you a walk in. Feel better. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, continuing to be in the holiday spirit. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where did y'all see that thing that hadn't happened in 50 years happen? We'll talk about that next.